Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go.
Cole McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side to the Rutgers 45, to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots it. Score! Hurry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Come on and see Troy Maxwell today for your next car up here at the Superstore. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Glad to have you on board. We're going to wrap up the weekend here in a moment. As always, this show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. 5:15 tonight, Paul Woods, color analyst of the Detroit Red Wings. For the Detroit Red Wings radio network, will join us. Red Wings got off to a good start. Well, really not a good start, but kind of eventually found their way. They're an even 500 right now in this young National Hockey League season. They go out west. They pick up a win in Edmonton. Never easy. They go get a win in Vancouver. Never easy. Calgary wins the last game of that western swing. The Detroit Red Wings then drop a decision in a shootout to Columbus on Saturday night. So we're going to talk Red Wings hockey at 5:15 tonight. 5:35, Dr. Murray Howe will join us. His book, by the way, he's going to join us live right here at the Superstore, 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father, the great number 9, Gordie Howe. Looking forward to that. So this show basically is a hockey-themed show tonight with both Paul Woods, former Red Wing, former Montreal Canadian, member of the Detroit Red Wing Radio Network, and Murray Howe. You know, Gordie had three sons that played hockey. Two of them went on to play in the National Hockey League. Of course, Marty Howe with the Hartford Whalers, Mark with Philadelphia and Detroit, Hall of Fame career himself. Dr. Murray Howe, who, of course, lives here in the Toledo area, has been on the show before. I think the last time we talked to Murray was, what a great, great decision this was. And I couldn't have been happier. I go across the Ambassador Bridge probably 2 or 3 days a week to get into Canada to do my hockey work. And, you know, the new bridge between downriver in Detroit going over to the Windsor area, that will be called the Gordie Howe Bridge. So, again, listen, I don't agree a lot with what politicians do, but I was 100% on board when I saw that both the state of Michigan and the federal government and the provincial government of Ontario decided and almost unanimously to name that bridge the Gordie Howe Bridge. You know, and I think it stems to one thing, and I read the quote in the back of Murray's book, 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. And you know what? It says this. You can't talk about how great Gordie Howe was a hockey player without also out mentioning what a great person he was. He was the best player ever, and believe it or not, even a better person. I think 2 or 3 occasions in my life I was fortunate enough to meet number 9 Gordie Howe, and I echo those thoughts absolutely, wholeheartedly, 100%. Just, again, you're standing there looking at a guy that maybe the greatest player ever to play. And as humble and as nice and believe me, on the ice, everybody knows it, was as tough as they come. Number nine. Nine lessons I learned from my father, Murray Howe, coming up at about 5:35 tonight here at the Superstore. Paul Woods coming up at 5:15. Just a couple of notes coming in from the weekend. Lions win over the Browns 38-24. It was not easy. In fact, this was a 17-17 deadlock stalemate in the third quarter. Lions go on to win it. Again, it just shows you, we talked a little bit about it last week with the Ohio State Buckeyes coming off that emotional win over Penn State. Where were they against Iowa? Nowhere to be found. And Jim Caldwell all week, and all coaches got to guard against this, is really during the week pumping up opponents that are struggling and having a tough time. I mean, the Browns last year were 1-15. They're 0-9 this year. One win, 24 losses in 25 games. I mean, you're telling your team all week, hey, we got to get ready for these guys. And players subconsciously, you know, they think they're ready. But just a little bit of a, you know, a lack of preparation or overconfidence, and in the National Football League and even major college football, anybody that's coached or anybody that's played anything can tell you a little bit about this, of taking your opponents lightly. Finally, Stafford got it going, and lo and behold, the Lions win it. They are now 5-4. Jim Caldwell has, you know what he would say, no easy wins in the National Football League. You know, that should have been an easy win. Give the Browns credit. They shot themselves in the foot, as always. But you did see something yesterday from Toledo native Deshaun Kizer. And the one thing I saw, I didn't move yesterday. I did not move yesterday. I've been on the road most of the week, settled in. You know, one of those days you get up, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, you put some comfortable clothes on. We threw a roast in the oven. You know how that goes, a little carrots, some potatoes, and grandson was over, just 1 year old. Just a great day to hang out around the house yesterday. So I did watch that Lions-Browns game, and the one thing I took out of it, big-time arm for Deshaun Kizer. Now, the only problem with that is he's stuck with that mess in Cleveland. I hope they don't mess it up. And I'm not saying this. This is not a homer comment. This is not me saying, hey, he's from Toledo, he's going to be great. If I did not know Deshaun Kizer was from Toledo and watched that game yesterday, if I was from a different planet like Mars, a lot of people have said I am from a different planet over the years, but I would have said the same thing. Big arm. I hope they don't wreck them in Cleveland. And speaking of the Buckeyes, big win over Penn State, emotional, let down Iowa. Here the Buckeyes were at number 13 going against number 12, Michigan State. Wasn't even a game. Urban Meyer cranked them up, and they just basically, this thing was over after the first quarter of play. So the Buckeyes move on. They've taken control of the East Division in the Big Ten. And again, they have games left with Illinois and the big one against Michigan. I know college basketball kind of kicked off this weekend. I have no interest, zero interest in that whatsoever at this time. Football still cranked up. College and professional. Now, that being said, I was going to say the same thing about the NBA, but wow, how about the Pistons? Pistons now are 10-3 after beating Miami yesterday, so they're rolling on. In fact, they got my attention. I'm going to try to get Rod Beard on tomorrow, Detroit News, to talk to some Pistons basketball, by the way. All over the weekend, too, just a couple of notes. Georgia goes down. Washington goes down. Notre Dame goes down. Oklahoma, TCU. TCU wins that game. Iowa State went down. Virginia Tech went down. They're falling like flies, and college football has been absolutely unbelievable this year. Almost seems like every weekend somebody that's supposed to win doesn't win, and you get a major shakeup not only in the championship rankings, but the AP and the coaches poll as well. NASCAR, we know who's in next week. NASCAR, like golf. I love golf. Anybody that's ever listened to this show, it comes majors, U.S. Open, of course, the Masters, the Open Championship, the PGA Championship. I am all in. This show, the last couple of days during the week, that's all we talk about. We try to get good golf guests. No interest right now in the PGA. In fact, if you watch golf, a couple of minutes of the Champions Tour, I think, is a little bit more appealing. Same with NASCAR. I know they're trying. They've kind of lost me, but they might pull me in next week, as we know, with Michigan native Brad Keselowski, Truex Jr., and Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick. They will race for the championship in Homestead next weekend. Michigan wins. Ohio State wins. Lions win. And that's about it. And finally, how about GQ Magazine? They voted Colin Kaepernick as the Citizen of the Year. Well, here's a guy that wears a Fidel Castro T-shirts, has never voted in an election, and wears socks depicting police officers as pigs. There's your Citizen of the Year for GQ Magazine. Wow. All right, everybody. Paul Woods right around the corner. We'll be back with more. My name's Mike Miller. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Dr. Murray Howe coming up at 5:35 tonight. Name of the book, Nine Lessons I Learned from My Father. Folks already coming into the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore are ready to get their book signed. You know, thinking about this yesterday, I said, you know, we're going to make this a complete hockey program here tonight from the Superstore. And the first guy I thought of, been a contributor to not only this show, but Face Off, the hockey show, for a long time. Face Off, by the way, will be celebrating its 20th year this year from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter Arena, and hats off to those folks as well. But again, thanks for his contributions over the years, and joining us now, color analyst for the Detroit Red Wings Radio Network, Mr. Paul Woods. Hello, Woodsy. How are you?
Good, Mike. Boy, it's amazing how time flies. Boy, that's unbelievable. But you've done a good job, a great job for a long time, Mike, so keep her up.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. It's something I enjoy, and getting a chance to talk not only hockey with you, but a cavalcade of guests that love the game like you do and have a passion for it. It's been a lot of fun. Hey, before we talk about the Detroit Red Wings coming off a pretty darn good road trip out west, where points are always very, very tough, and a goaltending display. I saw the highlights when Columbus came into town on Saturday. First, I know that Gordy had already left when you joined the Detroit Red Wings, but Murray will be here tonight at the Superstore. I had a chance to read a big portion of the book at home this weekend, Nine Lessons I Learned from My Father. And I read things like that, and all I say to myself is, you know what? I got to become a better person, because I read about Gordy and Murray and everybody else. And I know you have interacted with those folks for years. But hats off to Murray for the book. And any of your anecdotes or experiences with number nine you could pass on, Paul, would be great.
Well, you know, just Mike, I just want to get my I want to know what those nine lessons are, because I'm very interested to know what they are. But you know, coming from people like that that were so successful in what they did, but being so successful off the ice and how they treated people. But the biggest story, again, about Gordie Howe and me is just the way he treated people with respect. And it almost made you feel uncomfortable, because he would initiate contact with you. He would walk up to you and say something to you. And you know, it was startling, but it was, and it seemed like he remembered you. That's the part that, you know, he knew so many different people. So, he's just a good man, but that whole guy's that era, those same top guys, like Bobby Hull, that same way, like he just, you know, interacts with people, Alex Delvecchio, like, and that's what's great about that generation. They just were such good people, and they never, never forgot where they came from.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Could not agree more, and I'll tell Murray this. I mean, listen, I was a baseball guy growing up, and was a big Tiger fan and played a lot of baseball. My best friend growing up played in the Tigers organization, so I hung around, you know, baseball diamonds quite a bit, until the guy I'm mentioning, Mike Hines, and myself used to get the rabbit ears out and pick up Hockey Night in Canada, and then became big Red Wing fans on Channel 50 with Bruce and Bud doing the broadcast.
Yeah.
Used to get in my car and head down to Olympia, skip school every now and then just to go watch the Red Wings practice, and I was so taken in by it. It's been part of my life now for almost 40 years, but yeah. Boy, you do say something about that. They just, that whole era. And not just to hockey players or athletes, all the gentlemen we meet in that era, it was the greatest generation.
Him and Gordy, too, Mike, again, he could play like he'd play, obviously, right wing, but he could play center. In fact, when I played against him, he was playing for Hartford, he was playing center and got to take face-offs against him. And I mean, everyone's a thrill. Like, just like it was him and Dave Keon, like the center iceman. I said, what more could you ask for? I mean, playing against those guys in the course of a game, but just how he handled himself. And you know, back, you think when he played too, like he was the judge and he was the executioner. Like he sort of, think about him when you're playing against him. Like it was just, he played a game. It was no problem. But once guys crossed the line, then he took matters into his own hand. But if no one crossed the line and played a good game, there was never a problem. But once you did, he wasn't waiting for someone to tell him it was time to do it. He took things into his own hand.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Paul Woods joins us here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. The Red Wings, I just mentioned, they go out west and they get a win, Paul, in Edmonton, another win in Vancouver, get beat in Calgary. 2-2 on the trip for the Detroit Red Wings hockey club. So far, so good for a team that's had some ups and downs. Young players starting to come through, whether it be Mantha. Just give us an update where you think they're at.
Well, you're right on, Mike. That's the path I'd go down right off the bat. The young guys are stepping up. Mantha, Appenzell, and Larkin, those three guys, have really now started to play some tough minutes for Detroit. And by that, I mean it's just not the offensive numbers. They're getting better defensively now. They're coming deep in their own zone. They're playing against other teams' top guys. So they're playing some dirty minutes out there and still contributing offensively. But, you know, Mike, it's funny about these guys. Like, last year, I wouldn't have said this, and maybe in our conversations, like, they weren't doing the things I just described. And I said, yeah, well, they got to get a lot better at these other things. They're going to play all the time, the NHL against the NHL's top guys. But they're doing it now. They're making very good strides. But I think what these three guys are like is that they're just not fast and skillful, but they've got size as well. They're big guys. So they really can play, and they're difficult to play against. And I'm saying this thing now, Mike, because I watch, like, there's a lot of talk of these young players on the National Hockey. And we just use the Maple Leafs for an example because they're close by. And Nylander, Marner, and Auston Matthews. And they say, you know, these guys are great guys. But I'm telling you, our three guys, those three guys, three-on-three hockey, goaltender on each end, we're going to win. We're just bigger, faster, and we've got great skill as well. So that combination of size and speed and skill is very, very rare in the National Hockey League. So they've got three. They keep saying the Wings are rebuilding. They've got three really good young players. The next step for them now, can they become generational players? Guys like Cody Howe earlier on, or maybe in later days, guys like Steve Yzerman, Sergei Fedorov, Nick Lidstrom, those are generational players. Datsyuk, Zetterberg, can they become those guys? But I'm telling you right now, they're really heading in the right direction.
Again, talking to Paul Woods, color analyst for the Detroit Red Wings. Murray Howe coming up here at 5:35 tonight. You mentioned the good things going on with the Detroit Red Wings. Geez, Paul, I was looking at the Eastern Conference standings today, and Detroit's got 18 points. By the way, Red Wings got a great portion of their schedule coming up to make some hay, 13 of their next 15 at the Little Caesars Arena. But tell me a little bit about the Eastern Conference, 18 Detroit, 17 points your old team that drafted you, the Montreal Canadiens. Boston's got 16, Pittsburgh 21, Islanders 20, Rangers 20, Philadelphia 18, Carolina 16. I mean, wow, this is going to be a dogfight, and you better not get into any extended slumps.
You know, Mike, it's funny. The other day, the Rangers just won their sixth game in a row. So when they won that sixth game in a row, for that one moment, they were tied for first place in the Metropolitan Division. And since that time, they haven't played the last couple of games. Now they've dropped down, I think, to fourth or fifth place. So you just can change so quickly in the standings. So it's such a close and tight race. But it's almost like hockey was back in the original six, back in the 60s and 50s. When there wasn't very little difference between the two teams. And, you know, and once you got in the playoffs, it didn't matter where you actually finished, just once you got in. But Detroit's playing better. They're playing with more pace and tempo. So that's the part I like about it. Like, they've got a good foundation to be better. Getting to Kaiser in is going to help. But again, I think Glendening moving to the Wings has been a good addition. He's now plays on the defensive line with Nielsen and Helm. All of a sudden, that's been a good group. Zetterberg's been good all season long. I mentioned those young guys. And back on the blue line, Daly and Erickson have really stepped up. And I thought it was supposed to be going to be Daly playing with Daniel DeKeyser. He got hurt, but now he goes with Erickson. All of a sudden, Jonathan Erickson, he's playing really good hockey too, and DeKeyser coming back. So that could be a positive retort. But you're right, Mike, about the standings. And in each 20-game segment, in my mind now, you've got to get 23 points. So we got 18 and 18, so two games left. So we need these next two games bad against Calgary on Wednesday and Buffalo on Friday. Because if you just do that to get you to 92 points, that might not be enough. So you've got to be, even though they're playing better, they've got to pick up more points, and you almost have to win 7 games every month, I think, to make the playoffs now in the NHL. It's going to be 93 or 94 points, so they're doing good. They're playing way better than last year, so I'm optimistic about that. we've still got some ground to make up.
Again, talking to Paul Woods, color analyst for the Detroit Red Wings Radio Network, here on Drive Time, coming to you from the Superstore, this show, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Hey, Paul, I just mentioned 13 out of 15 at the brand-new Little Caesars Arena. You know, I think I'm trying to jog my memory here. The last time you and I talked, we were talking about the move from the old Olympia, which I loved, and I know yep. you loved as well, into the Joe Louis Arena, which you kind of called sterile, and now into the new building. What's your impressions of, listen, I've heard nothing but rave reviews. I'm sure I'm going to hear the same from you.
Well, I just want to say one thing, Mike. Like, I'm not a building guy. Like, it doesn't really, like, it matters to me, but I don't go crazy about things like that. It's more about the game itself. But I will say this, really, honestly, it is the best building right now in the National Hockey League by far. It's just amazing what they've done there. And again, the attention to detail, what they've done is just, it's just so relaxing. You walk in there and the elevators, it's all well thought of, and you're right to the press box. And it's just, and I guess the players' facilities are just amazing. The practice arena right there. So right now the Wings do have like the best actual facility to play in the National Hockey League, and that can become attractive now to restricted, unrestricted free agents, which I think going forward is going to be a factor for Detroit, because if you look at that to the blue line, that is the area that needs the most work. And Mike Green right now is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season, so they've got some decisions to make. Be sure when it comes to that blue line, who they're going to keep, who they're going to get. But again, when it comes down to free agents now, they definitely have something to offer with that beautiful facility. And it's like the Bell Center, I think, in Montreal. It's very steep inside the seats, so we've only played six games there so far, and really the games, you know, in October probably don't mean as much. But once we get rolling here and the intensity cranks up, I think there'll be some very, very loud fans at the Little Caesars Arena, so that could be an advantage for Detroit as well.
I caught a little bit of your broadcast on Saturday, Paul. We played Windsor. We played against Kitchener on Saturday night at home. So I caught the tail end. Wow, I caught the shootout. What a goaltending performance that was at both ends of the ice. And pretty good hockey game. 2-1 final, by the way, for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, you know, the goaltending, Bobrovsky was just amazing, and then Jimmy in goal for us. But I'll tell you what, that shift again in overtime, I don't know, Mike, it was like, we keep talking about the greatest overtimes we've ever seen, but that's got to be right up there because, and that afternoon, see, the thing about those guys, too, is that they have the ability to take the puck away from opposing players. I think it's one of the most important skills in the game of hockey, and one of the least things are taught right now. But afternoon, see, against Calgary, had five takeaways in a game. Sometimes teams don't have five takeaways. He followed up with two against Columbus. They walked down there 2-0, Mantha and Athanasiu. The execution was perfect, back and forth, and big save, and Mantha came down, another breakaway in overtime, and Nick Foligno coming back the other way, and Wenberg, and it was Werenski and Seth Jones. Like, it was just back and forth, up and down the ice, and it was something to watch. But it's the key to our team, too, Mike, is the goaltending, is with Jimmy, especially Jimmy, but both, but especially Jimmy. Like, the save percentage for him now, I think, is 9.30. I think it was 9.27, but it went up a little bit after that the Columbus game. But last year, our team save percentage was like 9.02. You can't get in the playoffs with a team save percentage like that. The goals have to be better. So this year, I think they're somewhere like 9.24. So that's been a big plus as well. We've been healthy. That was another problem last year. But Howard's been really, really good now these last couple of seasons. But I'll tell you what, Bobrovsky, he showed a lot in that game as well. He just made a lot of big saves late in that hockey game. Wings were coming on, and again, in sudden death overtime. And I'll tell you what, that 3-on-3 hockey, I'm so glad they brought that back in. I played a lot of that growing up in minor hockey and junior hockey. And, you know, I first got to the National Hockey League, and I kept telling people it's just way, way better than the other options. But it's been a great addition to the NHL hockey.
Couldn't agree more, Paul. Did I miss anything on the Red Wings before we let you go? And I appreciate you coming on.
No, one thing I want to say is I think we're playing with more pace and tempo. You see us playing, we're faster. Like, we're on the attack. I think Jeff Blashill, I don't know, I haven't had a chance to ask him about this, I'm going to though, but we really, really are on the attack now and using that team as speed. So I see a different style of play, and that again leads to optimism for me. And I got a funny feeling, not many people believe me with this, but I got a funny feeling the Wings are going to find a way to get back in the playoffs. The whole organization didn't like what happened last year, Mike. It stopped that 25-year streak. Nobody was happy about that, and people kept saying rebuild, tear it down. It's hard to do that in National Hockey. In my mind, the good general managers, you just keep getting better every year. I think the Wings are better this year. I think they're going to somehow sneak in the playoffs, but as you mentioned earlier, it's not going to be easy.
Good stuff, Paul. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. We'll tell Murray you said hello, and somewhere down the road, I'm going to call on you again. Always a great appearance. Again, best luck in the upcoming weeks.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, too, Mike. Take care now. See ya. Say hello to Murray. Yep.
I'll do it. That's Paul Woods, drafted by the Montreal Canadiens, played with the Detroit Red Wings, and has been a longtime member of the Detroit Red Wings Radio Network. My name's Mike Miller. This show was always driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. Murray Howe, then, after the updates. This is, again, Drive Time, presented by the Low Payment King, right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
More of the best in local sports talk. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
Garrett will clear it to the other side for Mark Howe. Howe coming up on the right side. Howe over the line to his father. Son to father. Back in touch. They score! Number 9, Father Howe. And number 5, Mark Howe. And the crowd appreciates that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, so do I. It's just a pleasure to see this big guy out there.
Well, I think that was the great Danny Gallivan, and I think Mickey Redman doing color with your dad, Murray Howe, on a line with your brothers. Great stuff. Nice to see you, by the way. And Dr. Murray Howe has joined us here at the Superstore. The show is always driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. The name of the book is 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. Good crowd waiting to sign the book here in the Superstore tonight. You know, the last time you and I talked, Murray, was when politicians, which don't always make great decisions, right, but I thought one of the great decisions ever is when they were going to name the bridge that will now span from Michigan into Ontario, the Gordie Howe Bridge. It warmed my heart. I know it made you happy. Great stuff, and also great stuff with your idea, of course, to put this book together. I went through it pretty quickly over the weekend.
Great, great. I hope you enjoyed it.
Page 14 of that book, Murray Howe, I did not know you played Junior B hockey with Paul Coffey and Wayne Gretzky and were drafted by the team that I'm employed by now. That's the Windsor Spitfires Hockey Club. So I brought you a little present, by the way.
I love it. I love it. So we got a Spitfires ball cap there. That's perfect. I'm indebted to them because they drafted me when nobody else wanted to.
No, so, you know, everybody says the same thing. And I read the back of the book as Dr. Murray Howe joins us here at the Superstore about and Bobby Orr's comments about the greatest player ever. That's always been my vote. And even a better person. And, you know, I got to tell you, your book at times, Murray, kind of put a lump in my throat. And wonderful, wonderful work.
Thank you. It was a labor of love for sure. You know, I woke up on Father's Day in June of 2016, just a couple days after Dad passed. And I was crushed that I couldn't spend the day with him. And because I'd always make a big day, you know, we would go fishing or golfing or whatever he wanted to do, and I would let him know how much I appreciated him being my father. It meant a lot to me, and the fact that I didn't do that, I just had a huge hole in my heart. And so I thought, wow, what could I still do for him, even though he's not with me in body? And I said, what would be better than to just get down on paper what he stood for and who he was as a father and as a man? And I thought, wow, what a great gift that would be for him. And so I know that he's smiling from above, looking at the book and saying, wow, yeah, Murr, I think you got me pretty good here. You know, I think you captured me. And because he was really all about character, way more. He would never talk about his own hockey achievements. It was important to him, but it wasn't something that he would want to brag about. But he sure loved being a great person, a kind person, and that was what he really stood for, is somebody who reaches out to everybody that he meets and gives them everything he has.
Again, talking to Dr. Murray Howe, of course, the name of the book is 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. I basically went through it. I had an off day yesterday, which is kind of rare on a Sunday, and I just devoured it. It's worth getting. It's worth reading. You know, you're a pretty sharp guy. You're a physician. How about this new endeavor, Murray Howe, of writing a book? I'm sure it was a lot more work than maybe you anticipated.
You know, for me, it was no work at all. You know, Dad always just said, do what you love, and if you do that, you're not working at all. And so that's how the book was for me. It really once I decided to do it, and once I ran the idea past Penguin, who had done the Mr. Hockey book, and they loved it. They said, this is going to be fantastic. And one of the senior publishers said, and I'm going to be your editor because this is going to be a labor of love for both of us. And so it would have taken a team of horses to keep me from writing this book. That's how I felt about it. And each spare moment I had, I would just plug away at it. And I've had these stories in my head since I was a little kid. I've always loved my parents and never forgotten the special moments that I've experienced with them. So it was all in there somewhere. And just needed an excuse to finally put it down on paper, and that was it.
Tell me a little bit about, I mean, you touched on this so many times, when you were just a young lad growing up, Murray Howe, about, you know, number nine, Gordie Howe was just your dad. Then all of a sudden you started coming to the realization of who he was and what he meant to other people. And as a young guy, that had to be quite a, well, number one, a thrill, but a revelation as well.
It really was, and I remember vividly. It was I believe it was second grade. We got the My Weekly Reader, the little periodical, and the teacher's handing them out to everybody, and my dad's on the cover. And I'm like, wow, why is Dad on the cover of My Weekly Reader? So, and all my classmates are asking me the same thing. I don't know. So I took the book or took the magazine home and asked my dad. I said, why are you on the cover? He said, they must not have had anything to write about that week. And so that's how he was. And then that summer, they had the Gordie Howe Day in his hometown of Saskatoon. So we rode in a big car and a parade, and he received a key to the city. And that's when it occurred to me that, wow, he's, you know, I guess not all dads get this type of recognition, so he must be something special.
I don't know if I've ever, and I've been around a while myself and been around and been very, very fortunate, some of the things you just mentioned, to be able to do something I love. It's not really work. It's more work than what people would anticipate. But in the state of Michigan, in the hockey community, which is worldwide, you would never have anybody utter even anything that would be negative about your dad. And soon as somebody starts telling a Gordie Howe story, which you've heard millions of them, and there are millions because he touched so many people, it would be instant attention of how he approached you and has had that ability to make you feel like the most important guy in the room. I mean, that's so uncommon. It's unbelievable.
It really is. And what made it even more unusual was just the fact that he was so accomplished on the ice. I mean, he was so dominant, and yet he didn't know it. He was the only person in the room that didn't know it. And that's really what made him great. So he was thrilled to spend his time with you because, you know, he didn't feel like he needed to be anywhere else at that moment. And he was so hell-bent on being great at everything that he did, be it doing the dishes or making a bed. I mean, he could make a bed better than anybody I've ever seen. You could bounce a quarter off that thing anytime. And even if he knew nobody was going to see it, he just took great pride in that. He prepared for everything that he did. He did magic tricks. He practiced them all the time so that when he would see a kid, he could show them it, and he would do it well because he was prepared. He practiced. When he put on his clothes to go to Olympia, which he'd just be taking off 10 minutes after he gets in the locker room, you know, his tie was perfect. Everything matched beautifully. He wouldn't have a speck on his jacket. And because he wanted to do it well. So when it came to people, he treated them well, just like he did everything else well. He just wanted to be that person that if you met him, you would never forget it because he would make it such a special moment.
Dr. Murray Howe joins us here at the Superstore. He'll be signing books this evening. Come on over. I'm going to let him go here in a couple of minutes so he can get to work. I got to, you know, the stories are just, they're so unbelievable. And again, they're countless. And You know, golf at one time was my passion. I was up pretty close to where you lived, and your dad was there a lot at Highland Meadows. And I remember going out there one morning, and there was a story circulating around the club before I was getting ready to play golf that your dad and maybe yourself, Murray, were walking your dogs around the golf course, and one of the young assistant pros came out and said, hey, you can't be walking on the golf course, and went back to the shop. And I think Nick Myers, the pro there, told the young kid, hey, that's number 9. That's Gordie Howe. He can walk his dogs out here anytime he wants. Now, that was a story that was circulated. Was it true?
That's absolutely true. We lived not too far from Highland Meadows, and I always tried to make the most of every day with my dad. And one of his favorite things was golf. And when he got to the point where he couldn't really swing a club just because of his wrist being so bad, that he still wanted to be out there. So we would go out there and we would just look for golf balls. We'd stay out of the way. He was very much into etiquette on the golf course etiquette. So he would never disturb somebody on a green or on a fairway. So we'd walk through the rough and he'd find balls. That was our game. And he would find 15. I'd find 2. So again, he did that better than anybody else. And then before we left the course, he would give all these beautiful golf balls to whoever he saw first and present them and just say, here you go. There's about $50 worth of golf balls right here for you. And when they would recognize who it was, that was a huge thrill for them.
Well, I used to drive up to Olympia as a 16, 17-year-old to watch practice and wait outside that room a couple times a year. It was some of the most thrilling moments of my life, and myself, like everybody here at the Superstore, loved your dad not only as a player but for who he was. One of the great Christmas gifts I got when I was a young guy, and that was a few years ago, my mom and dad got me one of the first biographies on your dad. Mm-hmm. The thing that I remember was him sitting in the back of the boat with a fishing rod, and I looked at that photograph and I said, Mike, you got to start lifting some weights. I looked at those Popeye arms and those shoulders, and another one in a Detroit Tiger uniform, then read this story, and he used to go over and take BP with the Tigers and hit balls out of the ballpark. Unbelievable.
He was an amazing physical specimen. It was, again, one of the just many things that made him like a superhero. I just don't know anybody that was built like him or could do the things that he did. And I'm still learning this as I'm meeting more and more fans through the book. I wrote the book because I wanted to share him with the world, but what's happening is the world is sharing him with me. And somebody was telling me last night, you know, I had the opportunity to go golfing with your dad, and I hit left-handed. And he says, let me see that club. And he just goes left-handed and just drills the drive about 350 yards, and he's like, wow. And then he switches and grabs his own clubs and right and does the same thing. So he just was really remarkable. And it's interesting that you mentioned the weights, because he never touched a weight in his entire life. And he saw me lifting weights one time because I was trying to be like him, and he said, if you want to lift some weights, grab that shovel over there. I've got some dirt in the backyard that needs to be moved. So that was how his perspective was. If you're going to do something to work out, do something that's going to help somebody.
Good stuff, Murray. Thanks for coming on. Always
my
nice
pleasure
seeing you. If there's anything we can do, myself or the Low Payment King, let us know. And myself, like everybody here, loved your dad and loved what you did with the book. And, again, stay in touch and best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much. And as you know, Mike, I'll be signing here tonight, I think until about 7:30, and I'll be on a Tam O'Shanter tomorrow night around 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I'd love to meet as many fans as possible and sign a book for them. And if you can't find a book, if you can't be there, the book is online on Amazon.com, and you can find it at most bookstores.
Yeah, Barnes & Nobles and all the usual suspects.
Yes.
Very good, Murray.
Yeah,
nice
thanks.
Seeing you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mike.
Oh, that's Dr. Murray Howe. The name of the book, of course, is 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. I devoured it over the weekend. I felt a little bad that I'm not a little bit of a better person, but I took some of those lessons after reading about the great number 9. All right, everybody. Jim, great job back at the studios tonight. This is ESPN. This is Drive Time. All of our guests, of course, appear in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. We'll do it again tomorrow, everybody, right here from the Superstore. So long, and good night, everybody, from Monroe.